You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hey, turn with me, if you will, to Genesis 2nd chapter. We've been teaching on God's financial plan. I am just going to give you a little primer this morning. You know what a primer is. I said that to my kids one time. They said, "What's a primer? What is that?" You know, I said, "You don't know what a primer is? This generational thing, it gets me. I don't know. I mean, they come in here and they get all gussied up and gussied up. The only way gussied up is you." Stay with me. Listen, this will go longer if y'all don't respond. I can drag this out a long time. But we've been teaching. Yes, amen. We've been ministering on finances, God's finance, God's financial plan, true prosperity, biblical prosperity. Listen, God does not want you poor. He really doesn't. I realize people can get greedy and people can take a good truth and take a good truth wild. You know, much learning hath made us mad, King Agrippa told Paul. But prosperity is a biblical doctrine. God does want to bless us. But he wants to bless us so we can bless others. He wants to prosper us so we can prosper others. You know that saying Sammy talked about, Brother Osteen used to always say, "Bless my four, no more." We got to get out of this mentality of just getting my needs met and just getting by. Listen, there are people out there that need you to prosper. They need your help. They need you to help them get on their feet like others help you get on your feet. You know, bless my four, no more. My case was bless my seven, take us to heaven. You know, but however many kids you had. I had five kids. That's just because I didn't want six. But anyway. So we got to get past that. And we got to get in the Word and find out what God has to say about us prospering. God's Word does not stop financially with just tithes and offerings. Often that's what we think about when we think of church, God, Bible, money, tithes and offerings. Well, we should tithe, no question. And we should give offerings, no question. But God has a lot more to say about money than just tithes and offerings. He talks about budgeting, borrowing, cosign, investing. Some of those are good, some are not so good. Savings. He talks about work. He talks about the attitude toward work, the way we work. In fact, 16 of the 38 parables that Jesus spoke had something to do with money. It's been said there's over 2,000 scriptures in the Bible concerning finances. Now listen, that's more than all the scriptures on faith, prayer, heaven, and hell put together. Now, does that mean that it's more important? No, I don't believe that. I believe it's just something that we all have to deal with, and that's why there's so much information in there about it. But to just disregard that and say, well, you know, all God says about money is to give it, tithe and give, is ridiculous. God's just as much concerned about the money you keep as he is the money you give. He's just as concerned about how you handle your finances that you don't give as he is the finances that you do give. Because a lot of our witness in the world has to do with the way we handle money. People see how we handle money, whether we're trustworthy with it, whether we're honorable with it, whether we pay our bills, and that affects our witness. And I don't believe it's the amount of money that is the problem in most cases. I believe it's the management of the money. There's no question that the wisest man in the Bible was the richest man in the Bible. There's a correlation there. And God's the one that gave him wisdom. His name was Solomon. In fact, he wrote a great book called Proverbs. You ought to read it sometime. It is filled with practical information about finances. It's filled with it. And we're going to try to get into some of those things in this series. But I want to just deal with one thing real quickly here because I got about 10 minutes left. Am I 15? About work. Everybody say work.
Work.
Now I know people think work's a four-letter word. You know, and it is. But not in the sense they're thinking. People often think of work as being a curse. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, work's just a curse. Praise God, get to heaven, won't have to work. Well, let me share some things with you. Adam worked before he sinned. He had a job to do, and I believe he loved it. And I believe you ought to love the job that you do. In fact, if you love the job you do, you won't have to work another day in your life. I love what I do. I absolutely love what I do. I love preaching. I love teaching. I love reading. I love studying. I love it. I just love it. I just love doing what I do. And you know, I love doing physical work. I do a lot of work around the church. I just enjoy it. I enjoy building. I enjoy doing it because I'm doing it for the Lord. When I worked on jobs, I was excited about jobs. I loved to go to work. I loved to help people, help companies, make money, and so on and so forth. I went to sleep at night knowing I was a part of a big picture here. Most of us in this building here work on what we call a secular job, but you need to understand you are a minister wherever you are. That is your ministry. In fact, if nobody worked on a job, no one ever had a job, brought any money in, there wouldn't be any buildings like this. There would be no tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings come from work. Amen. It comes from people working. So who's more important? Me up here preaching? The big shot? The star of the show? Full of faith, full of power, God's man for the hour, ministering the ghost from coast to coast, you know? Whatever. Listen, there's one star in this show, his name's Jesus, amen? And you and I, we're all in this thing together. Praise God, thank God you're working. Thank God I'm pastoring. Are you with me? Thank God people are doing the worship team, so on and so forth. They have jobs too, they work. I work in what I do. What I do is a job in one sense, but it's a good thing. It's a good job. Notice what it says in Genesis 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. Now this is before he sinned, and yet he had a job to do. And I believe he enjoyed what he did. I believe he whistled while he worked. There you go. I believe he said, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. He enjoyed doing what he did because he was doing it for the Lord. It was the Lord's garden. What an honor, what a privilege to work in the Lord's garden. Amen. And he did that. Now the curse that came on him was not a curse of work. The curse was the ground was cursed and wouldn't produce when he worked. Amen. Work is not a curse. No production, that's a curse. No fruit, that's a curse. In other words, work, 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 and nothing's produced and nothing happens and there's no increase and there's no benefit and there's no profit. That was the curse. The curse was not work. Work was always a good thing, still is a good thing. Amen? And we ought to thank God for our jobs. Got a that man? That's right. Amen. And the rest of you are thinking, I don't know, Pastor. I don't know. Genesis 3, turn there. Let's look at this. This is when the curse came. And it says in Genesis 3, after he sinned now, the 17th verse. Then he said to Adam, God said, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife. Write that down somewhere. Okay, I'm just preaching, okay? Did you not read that? I mean, she was deceived herself. He had better sense. He should not have listened to her. He should have helped her and kept her from eating the fruit. He was at fault, not the woman, okay? So let's get that straight. He wasn't at the back 40 somewhere, and she pitched him that mango.
That's right.
What an apple is a mango. Man eat, man go, you know. That's... He was right there, and she handed it to him.
That's right. Yes.
So he heard the whole conversation between her and the devil. He didn't interrupt. He didn't stop. He didn't run the devil out like he should have. Took his authority and been the man that he should have been. And that's why sin came into the world, and then death and destruction and so on and so forth. So he says, Adam, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. Not cursed is work. Cursed is the ground. It won't produce for you now, but thorns and thistles. That's what it says. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat the herb of the field, and in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. That sounds like Texas. What is it? Till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. So what we see here was that he worked before the fall, and it was blessed, and work is a blessing. And even over here after the curse, work was still a blessing. Work was good, but there was no production out of that ground. That ground was cursed because he was over the earth. Adam was steward of the earth. Adam was underneath God to take care of it. He had full authority over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and the creeping things that creep upon the earth, all the creeps. He had authority over everything. And so now he sinned, and it has affected all of mankind. Wow. You know what's interesting, though, is that God lifted the curse off the ground. 8th chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 8. Whirlwind tour. Y'all getting this? I want to encourage you. You need to be encouraged about work. If you're working on a job, thank God for your job. You ought to get up and say, man, oh, happy day. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. I have a job. I have a ministry. God uses this for me to bring in a tithe and help people with and bless people. And praise God, there's little kids over there in that dump in San Luis Potosí that have a meal today and get a bath today because I'm working on this job. Hallelujah. God, thank you for this job.
Yes.
You may be saying, I don't have a job. Well, you know what? Pray. Believe God to get one. Now, if you're retired, I understand, or disabled. Now, you know, you understand the context I'm saying this in. I'm not saying if you're disabled, go out and get a job, or you're retired, go back and go back to work. But if you're able to go to work, you should work. Thank you, Fred. I'm just going to preach to you. Yeah, yeah. Fred's got a job. He's a hard worker. Praise God. Work is a good thing. It's a God thing. So we ought to thank God for work. Amen. And we ought to believe God for work. Amen. Because it's a good thing. Notice what it says here after the flood of Noah. And Noah sacrificed to the Lord and so on and so forth. It says in the 21st verse of the 8th chapter of Genesis, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing, as I have done, by water or by flood. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Hallelujah, somebody. So we can look back and say, oh, you know what? I'm out here in this field working. I'm sweating. I mean, everything's just going wrong. You know, I plant one thing and it takes over another thing. I used to, you know, my dad, of course, is in the military, but he came from a bunch of farmers. And when he retired, he went back into farming and I farmed. And, you know, I worked in watermelon patches and corn patches and pea patches. I pulled a cotton sack behind me, you know, and filled it full of peas. I shot crows and ran them off, you know. I did all that stuff. I worked in produce, in fact, wholesale produce, while I was pastoring the church for a while and did all that. And, you know, I'd get tickled that we had this one guy who got there and he was cutting okra and he was always singing when he was cutting. And he had that song. You ever heard that song, Peas and Cornbread Had a Fight? Peas and cornbread had a fight. Peas knocked cornbread out of sight. Peas told cornbread, that's all right. Peas be in the corn patch tomorrow night. And he would cut okra and he would just talk like, and I was thinking about how, you know, how did I even tie that into this message? I don't know. But anyway, we kind of get the idea that, you know, everybody's against us. The corn's against the peas against the corn. I guess that's what I'm saying. But there is no curse on the ground anymore. It is not God's will that when you go to work that nothing happens and you don't get anything out of it and you don't get promotions and you don't get raises and you don't make it and, you know, we live in a terrible world. Yeah, but it's not God. Curse is not from God. It has been lifted. It's been lifted. You ought to believe God to bless your job. Bless you on that job. Give you creativity. Give you wisdom on how to be a better employee or if you own the company to be a better boss, whatever the case may be. Notice Deuteronomy 28 in closing. We'll just have to pick this up next week. Maybe next week I won't have a missionary in here and I'll get to preach. Oh, that was good, Sammy. Thank you so much. Deuteronomy 28, notice this. Notice this. Oh, ho, yes. Make sure I get to the right place. Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law. Deuteros, second nomos law. That's what it means. It was the second giving of the law. Titles of these books tell you something. Numbers is when they numbered the tribe. That's our favorite book. We love that one. Don't you love reading that one? And Exodus is the way out. That's what the Greek word Exodus is. Hebrew books, Greek titles. That's another story. Deuteronomy 28, notice what it says here in the third verse. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country or field. Fourth verse. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground. The increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. What? Where's the curse? Where's the curse? If we serve God now, I've got to juncture that, and we'll go back and read that in just a minute. But if we serve God, where's the curse? The curse is lifted. It's lifted off the ground. It's lifted off my cows. Lifted off my kids. Hallelujah. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading or your store. Sixth verse, blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you to be smitten or defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way. They'll flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouse and all to which you set your hand. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Skip over 12th verse, read that. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season. Come on with the rain in the name of Jesus. Amen. On our ground. Hallelujah. And He says, and He will bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations and shall not borrow. See, God is into blessing your work. He blesses the work of your hand. Working is God's number one way to prosper you. It really is. You say, well, I wanted something spiritual. Well, you just got it. That's it. That's spiritual. Spiritual is obeying God. Spiritual in faith is doing what God said to do. Isn't that right? So if God tells me to go to work, then working would be the most spiritual thing I could do. I'll take it over the New Testament, which I promise I'll close out here. You'll find some pretty strict commands and hard, tough words about not working. It says, man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Now, we're not talking about people falling on hard times. We're not talking about people that lose their jobs. We're not talking about people that are struggling at the moment or maybe disabled or retired or whatever. That's what we have the food bank for. But I'll tell you one thing we do in the food bank. We have some requirements. We look at people to see where they are, to see if they qualify. We're not just throwing food out. We're helping people that need food.
Right.
See, that's what's wrong with our government. God bless our government. God bless the United States of America, greatest country on the face of the earth.
Yep.
I'm proud to be an American. I thank God for this nation. I thank God for this country. However, I disagree a lot with our giveaway programs and our welfare programs that have no requirements whatsoever. We have created a monster. Created a monster. Rewarded laziness instead of really helping people that do need help. We want to help people that do need help. We're doing it. We're for that. But I think in many cases we kind of think that we should, you know, you're not required to help people that are able to help themselves and don't try. In fact, you're commanded not to. But that's another story. Hallelujah. Work is God's number one way to prosper you. Work is a blessing. Hallelujah. And God has lifted the curse off the ground. Praise God. What are you doing letting the devil bring a curse on your job? You need to believe God to lift that curse. Hallelujah. And let the blessing flow. And go with an attitude of working as unto the Lord and not as a man pleaser. Go with an attitude of diligence and not slothfulness. I mean, taking care of what you do. You're working for another person. They're paying you. You ought to honor them. You ought to respect them. You ought to pray for that company. You ought to pray for your boss. And if you are a boss, you ought to pray for your employees. They have given their lives and their time for you to help you achieve your vision. It goes both ways. Amen. And I'll tell you, we ought to believe God to bring the blessing down upon it so we can have more, to give more, to bless more, and to support more missions, just like we heard about today.